Thank you. This morning I'm going to talk about some work that we've done with evaluating biochar, and it was nice we had a bit of an introduction to biochar already, and effects on yield of cabbage. And cabbage was chosen because it is very responsive to nutrients. Just to give you an idea of where this work was done, we're in Ontario, Canada, a little bit farther south than Washington State, just north of the Great Lakes, so central Canada. Just a bit more about biochar. It is a carbon-rich material, as you heard. It has a very high surface area, a variation on charcoal. It's produced with heating under low oxygen. And there's been a lot of research, a lot of talk about the potential benefits of using biochar as a soil amendment, potential increase in organic matter. Because of the high surface area, it's supposed to aid in nutrient retention and recycling, increasing moisture holding capacity, and can make the soil easier to work by reducing the bulk density. There have been many reports on benefits in tropical soils, especially low organic matter soils with poor nutrients. When we were approached to do this work, we were told that it's important to charge the biochar, meaning it works best when it's mixed with compost, and it has to be left in that mixture for a certain length of time, at least a few weeks, before it's applied in the field. We were also warned that we might not see results in the first year, but the results will become evident year after year, and that a single application should show benefits for many years into the future. Slow pyrolysis is supposed to produce better biochar for horticulture than fast pyrolysis. The rates that we use are supposed to be based on bulk density of the soil, but we found that a little bit difficult to do, and felt that growers would have some difficulty with this, and that it would be better to just use a specific number of tons per acre or tons per hectare with the rates. And there's a huge range in the literature about rates that are have been tested and rates that may be effective. But the median tends to be around 30 tons per hectare for temperate crops and less than that for tropical crops. So we were approached to test biochar. Environmental group thought this would be a great product for people to use and that they could sell it to help fund some of their other activities. And we developed some research questions. We wanted to see first if there was any advantage, any benefit to adding biochar as an amendment to the soil. And so we wanted to compare it to standard fertilizer. Because it is supposed to be combined with compost, we wanted to see whether maybe the effect was just adding compost rather than the addition of the biochar. And then with all those other benefits that it's supposed to add, could we identify anything beyond just the nutrients that we were applying when we put on the biochar? So we did this trial for 3 years at two different sites with a single cabbage cultivar. Our two sites were sandy loam and sandy soil. The sandy soil probably is more accurately another type of sandy loam, and put the biochar on once, went back to exactly the same site with exactly the same treatments for the second and third year. Our biochar was made from hard and soft woods, so probably closer to the hickory biochar that the previous speaker mentioned. And it was a blend of 1-1 biochar and duck compost. And we used two rates, what would be considered the recommended rate, 24 tons per hectare. Excuse me. And a lower rate to see if we could identify any rate effects. So here are treatments. The duck compost was applied alone at the same rate that it was put on with the combination of our biochar high rate, biochar low rate, our standard fertilizer based on the recommendations from the government. And then at site one, we had the high rate of biochar plus the standard recommended fertilizer. At our second site, we had the same treatments, except we didn't actually have enough of the biochar compost mixture to have that high rate of biochar plus the standard NPK. So we decided to go with the standard NPK, but then apply the standard fertilizer at the same rate of the nutrients that would come just from the high rate of biochar to compare biochar and standard fertilizer at that lower rate of plant nutrients. Just a look at our two sites and some of the characteristics of those sites plus our materials. So if we look at organic matter and pH, the sandy site did have lower organic matter, lower pH. The percent organic matter in the compost was relatively high, and not surprisingly, the mixture was a little bit lower. pH of the compost was within a regular range, and the biochar does have high pH. Now, if you follow the compost along, it did have high phosphorus and particularly high potassium, as we also just heard from a previous speaker. So we were mainly concerned about yield, but we took a number of other assessments, chlorophyll ratings with a SPAD meter, sometimes just a greenness rating. We did do some assessments for insects and diseases to see if there is any effect on resistance to these. Did leaf tissue analysis, extensive soil testing for, which included pH and organic matter. And then we also looked at soil moisture content. At one site that I'll present on a weight per weight basis, the other site used a TDR. So, right into our results. This is our first site, the sandy loam, and I think it's fairly clear where we've got the NPK mixed with biochar or the NPK on itself, we're seeing much better growth of the cabbage. With high biochar, low biochar, here's our untreated and the compost, pretty evident, visible effects on plant growth. We did have a randomized complete block. The trial was blocked from front to back and 4 reps per treatment. And so it wasn't a big surprise that our data were consistent with what we could see in the field. Much higher yields, and this is total top weight here, but we do have marketable yield data. Much higher yields with biochar plus the MPK. And in this year, and this was the only site and the only year, where we did see an increase in total top weight, where we had the combination of biochar with the standard fertilizer compared to the standard fertilizer, and very low yields with the rest of the treatments. The beveled bars are 2015 data. The 2014 data were consistent with 2015. And by this time, both treatments with the standard MPK had the highest yields. Everything else was pretty low. And surprisingly, the high rate of biochar had the lowest total yield, but this was not different from the untreated or unfertilized check. At our second site, the differences were visible, but not quite as visible. Our standard MPK, our low rate of biochar, and our untreated. And there wasn't very many visible differences between the biochar and untreated. And again, when we took at the final yields, they were consistent with what we could see in the field. The most interesting difference, and again, this was only 1 year, we did see this, the biochar, the high rate, gave us a higher yield than, well, here we are, when we only applied the fertilizer at the same rate of nutrients that was being applied by the biochar. However, none of these still were different from the unfertilized check, and the highest yields were with the standard fertilizer. Again, when we looked at this over the years with these beveled bars, the standard NPK had the highest, and no differences among any of the other treatments, including the unfertilized. So at the one site, we wanted to see if there were any other beneficial effects. We looked at insect damage. There were some feeding, was some feeding damage, but no differences in any of the years. When we looked at alternaria leaf spot, the symptoms down here, there was low disease in one of the years, but still the least disease in our standard fertilizer. In 2015, we saw a bit of a larger range in disease, but still here the compost had the highest alternaria leaf blight, and our standard MPK in some of our biochar treatments had the lowest. Again, nothing was different from the unfertilized check. And finally, just want to show you water moisture holding capacity. The biochar high in the first year did have somewhat higher moisture holding capacity. And in the second year, we did see some differences as well. But here the compost and the high biochar were equivalent, better than the lower rate of biochar. No differences in 2015. So just to summarize quickly some of the other things we looked at, no significant differences or changes in soil organic matter at any of the sites. We did see some increase in pH at site 2, which started off with lower pH. And the standard NPK had low pH over time, which isn't surprising with the fertilizer application. Our SPAD readings were consistent with yield, and we did see some significant differences in foliar testing and soil testing, but no interesting trends. Nothing was really consistent. So to conclude, there were very few differences or benefits from adding biochar. In the 1 year, we did see that biochar plus the standard fertilizer gave us higher yields. Essentially, no difference between compost and biochar, but that kind of follows along when there is no real effect of biochar. We saw that difference with alternaria. Alternaria leaf blight tends to be worse in plants with low nutrient status, so that wasn't a real surprise. Again, consistent with our yield data. And a little bit of a difference in soil moisture holding capacity, but we were actually surprised that where we had the least organic matter in the soil, we saw no statistically significant differences in soil moisture holding capacity over any of the 3 years. So a few things to consider. We're not 100% sure we used the correct rates. Some of the research is showing rates as high as 50 tons per hectare. Probably the most important thing is that our results are consistent with some recent work that was published. Jeffrey et al. Just came out in early 2017, and their meta-analysis showed essentially what we found, that for temperate soils, there's really little or no benefit from the application of biochar. And this is much different from applying it to tropical soils, where the meta-analysis showed that, on average, there was a benefit. There may be better ways to combine the biochar with fertilizer. Some of the work does suggest that just using biochar on its own really isn't going to show a lot of benefit, that you need to apply the biochar and then add fertilizer as well. And it wasn't a surprise that cabbage is very responsive to applied nutrients. But we were also trying to think of other applications in temperate regions where biochar might provide a benefit. And one of these seems to be maybe trees in urban areas. They're under a lot of stress. They're often under moisture stress, and their perennial crops are in the same place for a long time. And so I think instead of giving up on biochar totally, would be useful to look at some of these additional applications. So I just want to finish by acknowledging the funding, the York Region Environmental Alliance, and I hope there's time for questions.